Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Hey, man, we are 24 hours away from the NFL draft, so we will make this a MIP draft special. Most of you guys know we've been just circling and buzzing around this draft for a few weeks now, talking to guys like Urban Meyer, who will have the first pick in the draft. Patrick Surtain, senior and junior, who will be the first defensive player probably off the board in this draft. And we even had Kurt Warner on breaking down and giving us his order of the top five quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round of this draft. But no more circling. It's time to dive in and eat. And today we will have Executive Vice President and CEO Stephen Jones on the MIP. Stephen Jones, when I called him and said, man, I need you to come on, man. He said, Michael, you're talking about 24 hours before the draft. You know how busy I am in the draft room. I said, man, I know you're busy. And I hate to bother you at this time, but I have to bother you because my people on the MIP needs to hear from you. We need to know what's going on in that war room for the Dallas Cowboys. Are you jumping up to get Kyle Pitts? You know the value of tight ends in this league right now. You see it with Travis Kelce. You see it with George Kittle. You saw what Gronk did last year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning a championship. Are you going to make that move and make this offense the most powerful that you can make it? Or are they going to stay pat, stay tight? I like saying stay pat. Stay pat. That means stay at 10 and get past 13. Stay pat. Stay pat. Stay pat. That's a good idea right there. That's what that means. I like that. When I said that, that made sense. Stay pat. Just stay past. Stay right there and get past Surtain, man. So we'll talk to him about all of those things, man, and get into what's going on inside the head of the man that will be making the decisions over there, man. It's just such a great time, peeps. It's a great time. And, of course, it's great that we'll be live. Let me tell you something. You can say what you will, and I miss and I hate that we missed that draft in Vegas. And it would have been incredible. I saw what it looked. I was there in Tennessee. I was there in Chicago. I emceed it here in Dallas, too. I've been emceeing it the last few years. But, folks, Cleveland is right there next to Ken, the birthplace of the NFL. And I'm going to tell you something. I know we're coming out of COVID, and we're coming out of this pandemic. But Cleveland, those fans are serious fans. They stack and pack that Cleveland Stadium every game. And y'all know how long it's been before they had good times again in that stadium. But those folks, they never missed. So what do you think they're going to do in this draft? They're going to show up. They're going to show out. Everybody will come saying, okay, COVID, but that's going to go out the window, buddy. I guarantee you. Well, sooner or later, it is. It's just what it is. That excitement is going to rise above all things, and I can't wait. And the excitement, I'm going to tell you what's great about the excitement. Do you understand what we get to realize? We get to see live and in color. We watch TV, and it's the thing that's called reality TV that's so big right now because we want to be voyeurs where we are watching the lives of others all the time. That's what we do. That's like Kim Kardashian made $1 billion off our iGate. because we want to watch her life all the time. We want to watch. It's reality TV. There is no better reality TV than you will get in the NFL draft. It'll start on the red carpet as I introduce all the players to the NFL audience and the NFL audience to these new players that are coming in. And we give the backstory of these players. Just like in a movie, when they give you at first, they give you the backstory. They hook you into the characters of the movie. We're hooking you in to these new players that are walking in. That's why we give you the red carpet with the families right there. And you're going to see those kids come out. And they've been working all of their lives to realize this dream. The opportunity to play in the NFL, that's dream number one that they're about to realize. They've been working all of their lives to realize this dream, the dream of taking care of their family. Watch, you see how many moms and how many players sit up there and start, they'll bawl and cry. Like, I just can't believe I'm standing here right now. I've heard them talk to me. I can't believe I'm standing right here talking to you right now on this red carpet about to get drafted. And then they look at their mom and say, Mom, I told you I was going to be here. And I told you I was going to take care of you. And I just can't believe it's happening. And it's some of the most beautiful stuff, man. I've sat there with players who grandmothers have taken care of them. You know, and they watch their grandmother do all they can to give her, to give them whatever they can and whatever they needed to succeed. And it's their moment right now to reciprocate all that love, you know, to say, Mama, or Grandma, or Mimi, or Mama, you meant this to me. You meant this to me. You know, I posted yesterday. Oh, don't get emotional in this, Michael. Don't get emotional. I posted yesterday, April 26th, because it's my mom's birthday. And I'm telling you all of this stuff, man, because I went through it with my mom. My mom, for years when I was a kid, would always carry me. And she said when she got pregnant with me, I was the 15th child. She was crying in service. She was like, God, we can't afford another baby. We don't need another baby. Because when she said, baby, I was crying. I said, you were that happy? She was like, no, I was just saying, how can we be having another baby? We don't need, we can't take care of it. She said, God, at that time, wrapped, and she meant this. She said, God wrapped his arms around her womb and said, Pearl, this will be the one. This will be the child that make your latter days greater than your former days. She said that to me almost every day. She said, baby, I'm not worried because God told me you will make my latter days greater than my former days. And before she left time to go to eternity, we got to see those latter days. We got to go to Hawaii, to Pro Bowls. We went to Super Bowls. We had some of the greatest times. We flew everywhere, saw everything, and every trip we would take on the way back home, she would always say to me, baby, this is what God meant when he said, you will make my latter days greater than my former days. You're about to see young men like me that are about to make their parents, their moms, their mimes, their mamas, latter days greater than their former days. There's nothing greater to watch than that kind of reality TV. So sit back and enjoy it, folks. Sit back and enjoy that part of it. Hook into all of these players or the characters of this reality TV that we're about to put out. Hook into it and see all of those stories. And hopefully you're inspired by them. you're going to see some great journeys, people and men that have traveled great journeys, that suffered through some hard things early on in life, but stayed true and worked hard and coming out on the other end. Try to glean some inspiration from all of it. One thing we are all assured in this world is the vicissitudes, the hard times, the trouble, the pain, the problems. They're like COVID, man. They don't know color. They don't know age. They don't know how much money you got. They hit everybody. They hit everybody. So since we all got struggles that we're going to have to deal with, let's all look for things to help inspire us and help get us through it. And I love the NFL draft for that reason. Everybody, all 32 teams are looking to pick that guy right now that will carry their franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. Everybody is looking for their Patrick Mahomes. Those top five quarterbacks, do they know that they are going to be measured to Patrick Mahomes? If you don't come in and tear it up right now, people will be saying, let's get back in the draft and get us another one. I'm just telling you right now, that's how this league is played. So it's just so much in all of it. So much in all of it. It's such an experience, man. And I want you to experience it with us. And I love that we'll get a chance to experience it live. So you do not want to miss that, man. It's just going to be one of the most incredible scenes. Folks, I was there. I was there in Chicago. I was there in Tennessee, there in Dallas. I was there when we've done these on the road. Cleveland is about to pop. Cleveland, right up the street. I go every year to Canton, Ohio, the birthplace of football. Y'all watch these fans, man. These fans are serious business. These are serious fans, man. They've been in that Cleveland stadium, packing that stadium so long, man, dealing with the pain of losing. We were on TV one day, and the DD Kiko Walla, who works with me, she was working in Cleveland, and she I guess her water broke. She had to get rushed to the hospital and have the baby. Cleveland had been losing for so long, you know. After we said congratulations to her, I said, "I'm sorry, but one day when that baby gets old enough, it's gonna look at you and say, Mama. Why I had to be born in Cleveland? You see what I'm saying? Because they're from Cleveland. But the truth of the matter is, those people don't play, man. They've done all of that losing, but they always show up for their team. They always show up. So I know they're going to show up for this draft, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, Stephen Jones... Well, we got to dive in on Stephen Jones, man, because I want to know what's going down with the Dallas Cowboys. Right here, so much talk about this Kyle Pitts, man. If you can, oh my God, I can't even fathom Kyle Pitts being there at 10. I can't fathom him being there at 10. But what if he's there at 7, at 8? Do you drop up a second round pick and move up and get him there? And now if you give up that second round pick, now you're going to have people say, he better come in and stomp ground because we just lost two defensive players, a first and a second round, that we really needed. But boy, if you can get Kyle Pitts, boy, that'll be something. So should the Dallas Cowboys move up and get Kyle Pitts, or should they just stay pat? Stay pat. And I like saying stay pat because it means stay at 10 and get Pat Surtain. Stay pat. Stay at 10 and get Pat Surtain. And then go and get you some pass rushers. Because I always believe this, guys. You can find guys that can get to the passer in later rounds better than you can find guys that can defend the pass in later rounds. Auden Smith got sacks last year for the Dallas Cowboys. 5 sacks, 3 in one game. He hadn't played for years. You think you can go find a cornerback off the streets that hadn't played ball for 2-3 years and come in and make plays? Are you joking? It ain't gonna happen. It will not, it will not happen. So if the Cowboys are staying pat and getting pat, that'll be an interesting thing also. Because if the offense is going to be as explosive as you expect it to be with all the guys getting back healthy, and we'll talk to Stephen Jones about all of these, then you're going to expect them to put up some points. And if you can get two young corners, you already got Trayvon Diggs, you put Patrick Surtain on the other side, boy, you can run that for a while. You got two young corners on rookie contracts with a great ceiling of talent. So you got you a good 4 years with both of them before you have to worry about opening a bank. That's big time right there, buddy. And the Dallas Cowboys, if they stay pat and get pat, I think that would be the right move. Now, if they're going to move up and get Kyle Pitts, I wouldn't mind that move either if they're going to put 88 on his back, because I know CeeDee Lamb may go to number two, and that I may be okay with also. But it's going to be one of those great days, guys. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to tune in and check it out and watch these dreams become a reality. I like to tell young men when they walk by me on the stage, I say, you put in the hard work to transmute your dream into a physical reality. And that's what this is, the transmuting of dreams into physical realities. It's the NFL draft. It's the place where hope lives for all 32 teams looking to pick that player that will change the face of their franchise for the next 10 to 12 years. Let's enjoy this moment. Let's enjoy this moment. But first, let's enjoy what Stephen Jones has to tell us about what's going on in that war room. The executive vice president of the Dallas Cowboys on the MIP next. Own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Joining the MIP right here, right now, it is the man that holds all the titles. He is the executive vice president, the CEO, and the director of playoffs personnel. I told this man, I said, I need you to come on the podcast. He says, Michael, you know I'm busy this week. I say, yes, I know. I want you busy, but I just need you for a few minutes. So, Stephen Jones joining the show right here, man. Stephen, boss, thanks for taking the time, man.
Well, thank you, Michael. And it is a busy time, but I'd do anything for Michael Irvin. Anytime, any place, anywhere, I'll be there. And this is going to be fun.
I appreciate you saying that. But, it's so funny, Stephen, I was thinking about it, man, Steve, because we both graduated in 88. We're both the same age, man. And it made me think about when I walked in your house that day, way back when you were first starting to do contracts. You were just first starting to do that little old bitty contract we were working on. And now you've gotten all the way up to giving Dak $170 million, man. That's let's break this down, because I told people this. This is what tripped me out during this whole process. I mean, they said,
Man, Jerry and Steve, they didn't expect to pay Dak this much. I said, stop lying. I said, you guys don't. I said, they know more than we know. I don't even remember this. You remember at the Super Bowl, you and I, we were at the Super Bowl. We had a few drinks, and Dak was there. We were chilling. We were talking, having a good time. You looked at me. You said, well, if this kid keep doing what he's doing, one day I'm going to have to write a check for about $200 million to him. Do you remember that conversation?
I remember it well, and Dak was standing right there, and I think he just wanted to prove me right. He wanted to wait long enough to where the number would get big enough. If he'd given me that extra year, it'd have been $200
million. Well, or if you just take the contract signed on the franchise deal, and then the value of that contract, that's $196. I was like, he was right on. But I was like, no way it's going up there that fast. But obviously, you guys know way more than we know. What was it like working through that contract with Dak?
Well, it's probably been one of the more difficult ones, Michael, because as you know, the truth at the end of the day was, after the first year we didn't get it done, there was a little bit of just wanting to make sure. And when you look at the Wentzes and guys like that, they hadn't always just worked out. But, you know, the second part of that, of the chapter, was when the pandemic had hit. And we didn't know if we were going to be playing football. We didn't know what television was going to be like. Consequently, we didn't know what the cap was going to be like, and it made it really difficult. Otherwise, I don't think that thing ever would have creeped into the second part of the equation. But, when you're working with your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, and, as I recollect, we were very consistent all along saying we were going to get it done, and Dak was our quarterback of the future. And just exactly how much we thought of him, there was never a doubt in our mind we were going to get it done. It was just wanting to make sure we did it the right way. As you know, Michael, better than anybody, we want to surround Dak with a supporting cast that we can get to a Super Bowl with. It's been way too long. That's why I smile every time I see you or Troy or Emmett or any of those guys, because we were winning them back then. And we want to get back. I know Dak does. Just as bad as Jerry and myself. I know all these other teammates do, but, the contract needed to be right for everybody. Dak deserves it more than anybody in this league, and we're just happy it's in the rearview mirror now. And, of course, Dak is doing everything and more we could ask him to do as far as being the face of the franchise, being the leader of this team out here. He's the Pied Piper. Everybody's getting in behind him. Reminds me a lot of ways of old number 88 back in the day. He's got everybody doing the right things, and we're just so happy he's the quarterback of the Cowboys.
And Steven, a couple of things in there, because you said it, after the first year, you kind of got to a place where you wanted to make sure. And then you mentioned Carson Wentz. I'm in the business with these guys. I know they'll take that and say, oh, I told you, Jerry and Steven wasn't that sure. They even mentioned and said Carson Wentz, what happened to Carson Wentz? They were worried about that. Did you guys ever think that how things didn't work out in Philly with Carson Wentz or with Jared Goff and with the Rams that you would be in that situation? Did you ever worry about Dak not working out?
We really didn't. You want to make sure at the end of the day. And of course, you're dealing with when we sign these quarterbacks now, it's a, you're betting a lot, and it can set a franchise back. But we really felt great about Dak every step of the way, and really felt like we had a time frame there that we could get it done. And as I said, when the pandemic hit, it made everything a little more uneasy. But there was never a doubt in Jerry and I's mind who was going to be our franchise quarterback. And of course, as I said, we're so fortunate to have him now as the leader of the Cowboy organization and our football team down there. And I think there's going to be a lot of great days ahead of us with Dak at the wheel.
And Steven, you like me, man. You know, I tell people, man, that ability to gather people up, like you called him the Pied Piper over there. He's the one that sets the marching orders. That's so valuable on a football team. I'm like, and when I come out, I tell people, I say, man, Dak is as close as you'll find to Tom Brady. At that position, being the heart and soul of a team, You rarely find that. And when you do, you don't ever let that go. I guarantee you right now, New England saying we shouldn't have let that get away, but they let it get away because it's that valuable. Speaking of leadership, one of the other leaders retired just yesterday, Sean Lee. Talk to me about Sean Lee, man, and what he meant to this organization.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, Sean's on one hand, one of the top individuals that ever came, you know, through our building. When you talk about leadership, when you talk about a guy who's dedicated everything he's gotten more to what he does. You know, one thing I mentioned, and it'll resonate with you, Michael, to be great probably at anything, whether it's the game of football, whether it's owning a sports franchise like Jerry Jones, there's got to be a little selfish streak in you usually. And Sean really defied that. He worked like no other with every teammate that came in that linebacker room, from Leighton to Jalen. He was trying to make them better each and every year. He sacrificed. He was the first one in my office, you know, after he had an injury in any given year. And he'd be in there saying, hey, I owe you. You didn't get it all out of me last year. He's the first one to want to step up. You know, with our salary cap business, he was just so unselfish and yet so driven to be great. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know this better than anybody. It's so hard to hang that helmet up. And especially for the couple of the guys we've had through here, whether it's Jason Witten or Romo or DeMarcus Ware leaving the organization, to leave here without a Super Bowl, there's an empty feeling there. And sure, Sean has that a little bit. I know Jerry and I have it, and, you know, that we didn't do our job for guys like I just mentioned, that we didn't get that Cowboys Super Bowl ring on their finger. But like I said, he's special. He's on one hand in terms of the special individuals that have won the Cowboys star.
Yeah, and he is now. He's done a wonderful job of just playing the game pre-snap. And that kind of knowledge, if you can get you keeping a Sean Lee around and giving a young Jalen Smith, Van Esch, any young linebacker that gift, if you can see it, and now you put those talented guys to go to work with that seeing, great things can happen, man. He was a great coach. He was a great coach. I had him down in one of my camps talking to the kids. He did a phenomenal job, man. Just a phenomenal job. So I think the world loved him. You also mentioned another great dude in there, Jason Witten. You're used to great tight ends. You've had Jason Witten, who's certainly going to be a Hall of Famer. Now, as we go to this draft, Steven, I'm hearing everybody talk about how much the Joneses are in love with Kyle Pitts. With Kyle Pitts, what is the real possibility of moving up and getting that monster in Kyle Pitts? Somebody told me CeeDee Lamb is moving to number two. I said, okay, that's so cool. I can appreciate that. As long as we give Kyle Pitts 88, I'm okay with that. Now, what are the possibilities of getting that beast?
Well, first of all, Michael, as you know, there's been so much success had with that tight end position, whether it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots, whether it's what Tom did this year, getting Gronk back in Tampa. You look at what Kansas City does with Kelce, San Francisco, when they made their Super Bowl run with Kittle. These guys are big time matchup problems. And anytime you can create those type of mismatches, you have a chance to really have great success. And certainly, I think that's Jerry's point, is this guy's rare in terms of his ability as a tight end. Mike McCarthy, who's been in this league, you know, for 30, 35 years, you know, I think his point was he may be the best tight end prospect he's seen since he's been looking at tight ends in his tenure in the league. So he's a unique talent, great skill set, certainly will create some serious mismatches wherever he ends up. But I think Jerry was just wanting to acknowledge that it was a unique report given on Mr. Pitts.
So you're saying if somehow, some way, there's a possibility of getting Mr. Pitts, that you're not interested in that direction, that Jerry was just giving us that game. If somehow Kyle Pitts is sitting right there, that you won't go back-to-back years of basically drafting a receiver in the first round.
Well, we did it last year when no one thought we were in the market for a receiver. So I think that says all you need to know. And no one likes passing up very unique football players. And certainly I think Kyle Pitts fits that mode.
Yeah, and when I text you when I had Patrick Surtain on, you know, Stephen, because, you know, you and I have had conversations about it when we had Dak, Zeke and Jalen. And I say it to you then. And when I remember, I wanted to come and kiss you in the mouth. And, we got some boys together now, because, you know, I saw those guys together dreaming of doing great things together. Dreaming. And it has to start, I think, in that kind of sense. That's why when I had Patrick Surtain on, I asked, I said, hey, have you and Diggs talked about men in the corners of the Dallas Cowboys and just running this thing? We got a powerhouse offense and everybody's going to be throwing to try to catch up. Do you know how great and big you guys can be? He said, yeah, we've been talking about that a lot lately. That's why I text you. I just wanted to make sure you knew. Hey, you do know that they're talking about this. Because, Steven, like, you know, I just think things like that are important when guys come together and trying to set their minds on doing great things together. When you can mash that together, you have a chance at doing something great.
Well, Michael, you speak from experience. There's no question. You had those conversations and were the ringleader. With Troy and Michael, I mean, Troy and Emmett and Eric Williams and Charles Haley. And you always had to keep Charles in line at times. Whenever Charles would get that crazy gene working, you'd be bringing back in. Hey, we got to go win this thing. But we all know how much we love Charles. But anyway, that's where it starts. And certainly with the leadership. And that's why we were talking about it today. It's elite football character. And if ever you can pick guys like a Dak Prescott, like a Michael Irvin, like a DeMarcus, where they got unique football character. And certainly that's what we look for in these drafts. And, you know, that's what we want to deliver on. We think that's the one thing we need to get more of if we're going to take the next step.
Everybody's talking about the problems we had on that defense last year. And I know everybody's going into this draft saying we need to draft defensive guys because of the issues we had on that defense. I believe going back to the 4-3 is going to change a lot of things and help in a lot of ways. Could you try to put a percentage on the defense, how it played last year? How much do you think it's going to help that defense? Just going back to the 4-3, the positions that these guys know this year.
Well, I think our biggest staple coming into last year was how fast and hard our guys played. And unfortunately, because, Mike and his staff didn't get their hands on our defense until August, we were late to the game. And hats off with Mike and the offense. They pretty kept Kellen. And, you know, Dak had a great feel for what we were trying to get accomplished. The offensive line, the receivers felt good about it. I think we were trying to our guys on defense were doing a lot of thinking about, what we were trying to get accomplished. And, you know, they just weren't able to play fast. I think you'll see them back and just rolling like we're used to. We've got great, as I said, great football character over there, guys that want to play hard, guys that want to play fast. And certainly we hope to complement those guys with what we're going to get done in this year's draft. Hopefully have a really strong defensive draft to go along with any offensive players we pick up. But we just feel really good about it. And, of course, Dan Quinn, you can't talk to anybody in this league that do not have a tremendous amount of respect for what he stands for. He believes in these principles that I think we need. He was just right there. If it weren't Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, I think he's got that ring on his finger, and they pulled a miracle out. But Dan's a special guy, and the more he's been in this building, the more he's been around our players, the more he's been – with Mike and his staff, we just feel so fortunate to have added him to what we're trying to get done here in Dallas.
I've talked to a few of the guys, and they do like, you know, they like Dan Quinn. And I think especially on defense, that's a big part of it, because defense is about emotions and playing together and playing hard together. Steven, you get ready to do the draft, but when I'm riding around here in Dallas, there are two people that I hear that people get on all the time here. And I think they're absolutely crazy, right? I hear people talking about Zeke's performance and Jalen Smith's performance. I'm like, are you serious? Are you guys serious? We had every offensive lineman hurt the last year, really the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? And you guys are talking about you think Zeke has fallen off. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
I think our actions speak louder than words. I mean, Zeke did everything and more he could do last year. And as you mentioned, I mean, that offensive line was depleted. We not only lost our both starting tackles, we lost our third tackle, our fourth tackle, and we were down to 5 and 6. We lost Zach Martin. You know, it was just a tough year for the offense. And then to lose Dak, or, you know, as you and I are talking about, our team leader, I thought Zeke gave a great effort. And, you know, Jerry and I and the whole organization here has the utmost confidence in what Zeke's going to do. He still had a productive year. I think he pushed at times and certainly was aware of some of the moving parts that were going on in the offensive line. But I think he's going to return with a great, great season, you know, working there with Dak. They feed off one another. And then you take a guy like Jalen, who not unlike the rest of the defense, were really just trying to get their hands around, I think, at the end of the day, what we were trying to get done. And it was new to them. And I think whether it's Leighton, you know, that whole defense obviously came under some fire, and probably rightfully so because of the performance on the defensive side of the ball. But there were, you know, there were some extenuating circumstances there. And I think our fan base, I think the people, you know, who are rooting for us to succeed are going to see a whole different group of guys on that defensive side of the ball.
Steven, you know, this Dallas Cowboy thing, and I know this is you. You're coming after your dad now. Everywhere I go, it's you doing all the talking now. This is your baby. We knew way back then, one day, you're going to be rocking. When I came to your house that night to talk contract, you were rocking a baby. Now you're rocking the whole Dallas Cowboy baby. Basically, you're rocking the whole team, man. Do you think about leaving your mark? Like, Jerry has his Super Bowls. These next Super Bowls, these will be your Super Bowls. Do you think about those things when you're rocking this whole baby called the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, what I'm hoping to do right now, Michael, is you know how much my father means to me, and I'm going to enjoy every last second of working with him. And more so than for me, I want to do it for him, get one of these Super Bowls back you know, back in this building, one of those Super Bowl trophies and rings. And, you know, he's just put his heart and soul into thing, his lifeblood. And I'm enjoying every day getting to spend time with him and work to get that done. And, you know, when my time comes, whatever that is, then obviously I'll turn my attention to what that needs to be. But right now, being able to compliment and be a part of working with Jerry every day is something I cherish, and I'll never take it for granted. And I love it. And you know, at the same time, hopefully I'm being very accretive to what he does. And, you know, a lot of people, as you know, Michael, when he locks that jaw and he's a little hot about something, not many people want to get in his way. I'm probably the one person who doesn't mind stepping up and saying, "Hey, that may be a little much there, Dad. Let's tone it back a little." And he's outstanding. And like I said, I just cherish every day that I get to work with him.
Yeah, you know I love him to death too, man. So I'll leave it at that. But have you guys ever had, what's the strongest argument, I'll call it that, or strongest debate you've had, like in a draft room? What player was it that you had the strongest debate over?
Well, it's well documented, but you know, when we were bringing Deion on board, and you know, I'd begged you to take a little bit less. I'd begged Troy to take a little bit less. I'd begged Emmett. And then Deion comes in wanting to break the bank. And I said, "Look, we've given our word to Michael, Troy, and Emmett to not take every last dollar here. We owe it to them to make sure they're on board with bringing primetime in." So he said, "I got them handled. I'll handle that." And we had a little rough moment up there where I was went as far as maybe even to put him up against the wall to keep him from going in there and shaking hands with Eugene Parker, God rest his soul. But that was probably the most tight it ever got. But he assured me that he'd get you back smiling and he'd get Troy and Emmett happy about the situation. And of course, all y'all were about was winning championships, and you had absolutely both, all three of you guys had no problem with it whatsoever. And of course, we went out and got us another Super Bowl. So it all worked out.
It all worked out, Stephen. It really did. Jerry did call us all in. He called us in separately. We all had conversations about that, and we all decided to move forward. Let's move forward if we can get him. We might as well not fight with him if we can play with him. Let's just get him over here and do what we did, and we did actually. Stephen, I know you got to get back to that draft meeting. I'm not going to hold you too long, man, but let me ask you this, because I had people kind of send in some questions and the things they want. Like, do you have any draft superstitions? Do you have draft superstitions?
Not really. I mean, I think we've got certain things we do. We like to wear, we like to, you know, feel good about where we're sitting and how things like that are working. But I would say in general, you know, I think we've, you know, just evolved over time, Michael. We've had a lot of great coaches that have had input into what our draft looks like, whether it's a Bill Parcells, whether it's a Jason Garrett. Of course, have had different guys at the helm, starting with Larry Lacewell, who's one of my all-time favorites. And certainly I think we got the best in the business now in Will McClay. And our big deal is not to be stuck in a certain way of doing things, that let's constantly evolve. Let's constantly figure out how we can improve on how we're picking these players, and don't rest on any past drafts. I think as an organization, we've drafted well over the last 10 years, but there's always room for improvement. And that's what we strive to do all the time. And certainly we're lucky to have Will. We've got a great staff that we work well together. We really got a great philosophy, I think, on how we come up with who we pick around here, and, you know, feel confident with every draft we go into, regardless of what part of the draft we're picking in, that we're going to make great picks, and we're going to have good young players to build off around here, so we can continue to pay guys like Dak and Zeke and Tyron Smith and D-Law. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to be successful in the draft.
You got to be successful in the draft, Stephen. Stephen, thanks for taking the time, my brother. I know you got to get back to that draft meeting that we pulled you out of. I want you to get back to it, so make sure you bring the right dudes in. Stephen, what's success this year? Last year was a different year, but on the way out, tell me what you consider success to be this year. We're going back to the defense that we're playing, with drafting the guys we are about to get, and all of the investments now that's been made on this football team. What is
the our goal every year is to win a championship, Michael. And you know, that was obviously why last year was so disappointing. As I said earlier today in our draft press conference, it was very painful, very gut-wrenching to earn that 10th pick in the draft. What you have to go through to pick that high. Now that we're here, we've got to get a great player in each of these rounds where we're picking up from where we normally pick. And what we, you know, obviously what our goals are is to put these young players with our guys who are all coming back healthy, whether it's Dak, whether it's Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin, the list goes on, to put those young players with the team, you know, that we thought we were going to have out on that field last year. And we feel like we can compete with any team in the NFL.
Let's get it in. Let's go and get it, man. And hopefully, as I said to everybody, we're looking so far. And so far, we want to look so far. It's so fly and so far. The Dallas Cowboys, Stephen Jones.
You and I'll be there with our arms around each other. Let's do
it. We'll be right there, buddy. You know what, man. L.A. too. Oh, my God. It'll be off the chain. You know what. But let's just one game at a time. Let's take
Absolutely.
One game at a time. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Thanks for taking the time, boss. Get on back in that draft room. And get
You're the best, Michael. Always enjoy being on with you.
All right, man. Appreciate you, buddy.
For downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's geico.com.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.